The Old Gold Sports Review with Tom Harmon, the latest happenings in sports reported and reviewed by Tom Harmon. Why don't you get the new pleasure from smoking offered you in the new Old Gold? Something new has been added. A rare and particularly flavorful tobacco from the Eastern Mediterranean called Latakia. Like seasoning in food, Latakia acts to point up, to bring out the flavor of all the other fine Old Gold tobaccos. A new, a different, a most pleasant cigarette taste is the result. So get these new Old Golds next time you buy cigarettes. Same familiar golden pack, but something new has been added. Now here's Tom Harmon with, first of all, the miscellaneous sports column.
Thank you, Jack, and good evening, Old Gold sport fans. Reliable sources indicated today that it's unlikely an immediate successor will be appointed for Clifford Keene, who has resigned as the University of Michigan wrestling coach to assume a post as physical instructor in the Navy Bureau of Aeronautics. Keene has served as a wrestling coach since 1925, and his resignation is viewed as temporary. Retention of a serviceman's amateur standing when playing with a service team against any professional squad was upheld today in a ruling by President L. Denedito of the National Amateur Athletic Union. In a pronouncement, Denedito said, "Any athlete who plays with any service team against a professional team of any kind retains his amateur standing." Denedito's ruling upheld that the Southern Athletic AAU on the ineligibility of Marnie Pagaslia, a San Francisco selectee, who was declared ineligible for competition with an amateur team in a Baltimore basketball tournament. Fordham University today became the first school in the East to announce a War Leaf football game for next four. Officials announced that the place on the schedule previously held by the New York University team would be given over to a game between the Rams and the Naval Air Station Cadets being conditioned at the University of North Carolina. The game thus probably will be played on November 28th, the date left open when New York University dropped football, and the site will be either the Polo Grounds or the Yankee Stadium.
Now, Tom, what's new in the boxing world?
Joe Louis will polish off Abe Simon within three rounds tomorrow night in New York, in the opinion of Jack Blackburn, who has been the heavyweight champion's trainer since Louis entered the professional ranks in 1934. Blackburn, recovering from an attack of pneumonia in a Chicago hospital, regretted that he could not be at the ringside tomorrow night, but added, "There ain't nothing to worry about, however. Joe knows what to do, even if I ain't there, and he'll do it. Fast, too. I've written and telegraphed Joe several times since I've been laid up, and he won't let me down. Take my word for it, the fight will be short and sweet, and Joe will get him inside three rounds."
The baseball column.
The Detroit Tigers will start the 1942 season with a squad of only 25, probably less, it was indicated today. The squad will be the smallest in Tiger history. Meanwhile, the Tigers prepared for today's exhibition tilt against Cleveland in Clearwater. Yesterday, the Bengals were sloppy in losing to Cincinnati 4-1. The Tigers committed five errors. 19,500 observers said that the 1942 Tiger squad will start out with three catchers, 10 or 11 pitchers, six infielders, and five outfielders. And incidentally, holdout Johnny Gorsica disclosed today that he was ready to accept the latest offer of the Detroit Tigers. The beat big right-handed pitcher bowed to the decision of Judge Kennesaw Mountain Landis, who called the offer of the Detroit Tigers fair, considering Gorsica's pitching record.
News of the hockey playoffs.
The spot in the semifinals of the National Hockey League Stanley Cup playoff will be at stake tonight when the Montreal Canadiens and Detroit Red Wings square off at Olympia. The two sextets return from the Canadian city, where the series was evened at one apiece as the Canadiens trimmed the Red Wings 5-0. The Wings won the first game in Detroit Sunday night. It was generally conceded that if the Canadiens were able to prolong the brilliant offensive which marked their victory dive Thursday, Tuesday night on their home ice, the Red Wings might just as well put away their sticks until next year. But it was hard to convince some Red Wing rooters of that fact, and the diehard Detroit rooters were certain their favorites would liberate less Canadiens tonight and earn a semifinal berth against either Boston or Chicago. A capacity crowd was anticipated for the rubber match.
And here's Tom Harmon with track news.
There was not a single raspberry left in the Bronx today. There were still cheering a meet which failed by a mere 2 4/10 seconds of creating eight new world records out of eight singled out for destruction. Had Leslie McMitchell gone 0.5 seconds faster in the mile, and had Gregory Rice traveled 1 9/10 seconds more rapidly in the 2 mile, every objective would have been taken and completely wrecked. In baseball, what makes a good leading off man? Well, he's got to have good eyes, to be able to wait a pitcher out. He's got to know how to bunt, to be fast enough to beat it out. He's got to be able to really connect with the ball now and then, too. In short, he's got to have the knack of getting to first base. And I'll tell you, a cigarette that's getting to first base plenty these days and scoring, too. It's the new Old Gold.
Yes, and more smokers are changing over to the new Old Golds. Try them and you too will agree here's a cigarette with a new, finer taste. Something new has been added, a rare, costly tobacco from the Eastern Mediterranean known as Latakia. So flavorful is this remarkable tobacco that just a touch, a seasoning pinch, points up, brings out the flavor of all the other fine Old Gold tobaccos, creates this new, delightful cigarette taste. It's like the chef's fine touch of seasoning. There's enough Latakia now aging and mellowing in Old Gold's American warehouses to last for years to come. You'll get more fun, more deep-down satisfaction from your smoking when you light up a new Old Gold. Try these new Old Golds today. You're missing something if you don't. They come in the same familiar pack, but inside are new Old Golds. And now back to Tom Harmon and his story tonight, Athletes on Parade.
There's a parade coming down. Here they come, marching, young, brave, courageous athletes from the field of sports. They're marching into battle, one by one, in pairs, in hundreds, marching on land, on sea, and in the air. Marching into battle, the athletes on parade. Once these men marched to familiar music, the music that came from the cheers of the sport crowd. But that seemed long ago. Today these men are hearing new music, the music of fire and shell and the rumble of cannon. They still go marching on, playing the game to the hilt. And here they come. See that young major? He's standing all alone near a stalled truck on a bridge that leads out of the besieged Bataan. Why doesn't he run away? Can't he see the Japanese soldiers coming towards him? Hundreds of them, thousands of them. But look how he stands there, cool, calm, and confident. What in heaven's name is he going to do now? Surely he's not going to face that Japanese horde all alone. Listen to those bullets whining around his head. But calmly he fires his truck, and soon the bridge is in flames. The advancing Japanese can't cross it. They're stalled, and the Americans are saved. The major's trick worked, and there's a medal waiting for him for that feat. We've seen that major somewhere before. Of course, now we remember. It was 16 years ago in the Chicago Municipal Stadium, playing football before 100,000 screaming football fans. He was a star halfback for the West Point team at that time. His name? Major Tommy Trapnell. Do you hear the whir of the motor in the skies? There's a fighting Yank up there in a plane flying over the Philippines. Four Jap planes are coming after him. But he weaves in and out of the clouds, pumping hot lead at them. That Yank knows his business. What are the odds? 4-1 against him. When the daredevil battle is over, he's knocked four Jap planes out of the skies, just like he used to bowl over his opponents on a football field. Can't you recognize that fighting Yank of the skies? It's Rosie O'Donnell, who back in 1926 played a really great game of football. Now look at that Yank high diving in the skies, 10,000 feet at a clip. Look at him taking full gainers at Jap ships off a bally, bombing them and sending them down to Davy Jones's locker. That fighting fool is Captain Frank Kurtz of Omaha. He's very strangely familiar. Why shouldn't he be? For once, the sport world cheered his name, for Frank Kurtz was the national high dive champion who starred in the 1932 and 36 Olympic Games. And there comes another in that parade. He's a bearded man. Look how he looks when he's making his way through the Bataan Mountains. He's on a lone reconnaissance patrol behind the Japanese lines, a suicide mission if there ever was one. Suddenly, he comes across a long line of Japs crossing a ridge short distance ahead. He grins as he opens fire with his Tommy gun. A fierce battle starts, one against many. He drops the enemy soldiers like ducks in a Coney Island shooting gallery. He's wounded, but he keeps on firing and fighting. And believe it or not, he drops 116 Japs and escapes to his own lines. You must have read of that heroic exploit in your newspaper. Now look at him grinning as they decorate him with the Silver Star for gallantry and the Distinguished Service Cross for extraordinary heroism. Heck, man, he says, what's all the fuss about? Nothing much happened. He's won many honors before. On the football field once, he was a sensational star at Northwestern Military Academy. Arthur Weymouth was his name. Do you remember? And the parade goes on land, on sea, and in the air. Athletes from the field of sport marching bravely into battle. And look who's at the head of the parade. An old familiar figure from the world of sport. A sportsman whose memorable words are inscribed on a plaque over the entrance of the gymnasium at West Point, which read, on the field of friendly strife are sown the seeds which in other years, on other fields, will bear the fruits of victory. Did you ever hear those words before? Remember the sportsman who wrote them? He's leading the parade now. See him up there in front? It's General Douglas MacArthur, marching with his athletes into battle, fighting for all that is precious in American life. Marching to battle. Athletes on parade. I don't really know how to start this next paragraph in my sports review. It seems to me that I'm entering the greatest sports arena the world has ever known, and it's with mingled feelings that I do this. Anyone who Saturday after Saturday has tromped out on the gridiron in front of 80,000 persons never gets over the thrill. Tonight, I'm more thrilled than at any time in my life. Tonight, I'm saying so long to all of you sport fans for, well, who can tell? I never have been able to adequately describe the feeling that I had when I hung old 98 for the last time. I'd learned to treasure it with something akin to real affection. Then I said goodbye to Moleskins and hello to a microphone. I was elated that I was still in sports and still in contact with all the sport fans to whom I owe all my gridiron glory. Tonight, I'm hanging up this microphone just like I did old 98. But there's a different feeling. There's a sense of elation and responsibility which I've never felt before. When I trotted out onto the football field, my one and only thought was victory. Then I was one of 11 men. Now I'm to be one of millions. I realize that my part in this great game is to be a much smaller one. But I'm going in with that same thought, victory. It may be a short game, then again it may be a long one. But from now on, I'll be in there and I'll carry the ball with every ounce of heart and energy that's in me. Michigan has been good to me. It's heaped more honors on me than I deserved. I've tried to keep my head, realizing that only in America could I have had this chance. I hope that the years to come will reflect my appreciation. I hope that my small bit will make it possible for boys of the future to have the same opportunity. I'd like to thank every member of the staff of WJR, from Mr. Fitzpatrick on down to everybody. They've really been wonderful. I'd like to thank the Old Gold people for being so kind and considerate as a sponsor. They've been perfect. And if I have one thought, one hope, to come true in years, I hope that after this mess is over, I'll be back with WJR. Standing beside me is Captain Estes of the Air Corps, in which I enlisted last November. He's here to induct me into the service. He represents the coach that will be directing me from now on. In another minute, I won't be able to approach him in this manner, so I'm taking advantage of this last few seconds. Coach Estes, I'm reporting for duty.
Thomas Dudley Harmon, you have been found mentally, morally, and physically fit for aviation cadet training. By authority of the commanding general of the Sixth Corps area, I appoint you an aviation cadet. Your first act as a soldier is to salute the flag of your country. Cadet Harmon, let me be the first to congratulate you. Happy landings, Tom.
Thank you very much, Captain. And to all my fans on the Old Gold Show and all my friends in Michigan, my last parting thought, keep them flying.
The Old Gold Sports Review will return again on Saturday night at 6:15. See you then. Meanwhile, for a new pleasant taste in a cigarette, get new Old Golds. Something new has been added. The appearance of Captain Estes on the program this evening does not necessarily constitute endorsement of our product by the United States Army. This is Jack White speaking from the Goodwill Station, WJR, Detroit.